This is Straight Gate Ministries in St. Timothy Church. And we bless God right now for you, and we're happy that you have decided to be with us today. Amen. This is a day that the Lord has made, and let us rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah. So we thank the Lord you've gotten up with us today on this special Sunday. Some of y'all have plans for the day, and so we won't be with you terribly long today. But I just want to thank God for you and for our fellowship. Amen. It is a blessing to meet you here at these times. And we appreciate your financial support that keeps our ministry going. And we are expanding our outreach. We have a lot of new things to let you know about that are coming up here in the next few days. Amen. If God is willing, and we believe He is, we know that there's quite a few things that are working that you have helped us to be able to do, and we'll be telling you more about that. Got some new things coming up for the podcast. Be looking forward to some of those things. Amen. So we continue to ask you to pray for our ministry, and it is a blessing for me to serve you as pastor teacher. Amen. High calling from the Lord, and we don't take it lightly, and so I'm so glad for our fellowship together. Amen. So we're going to go right ahead, as it is our custom, and start off with a word of prayer. I always like to invite you to pray with me. And in the time of prayer, I just need you to know that God, the Bible says, is opposed to the proud, but He gives grace to the humble, and that whoever trusts in Him, He will save. God wants to save you no matter who you are. And if you are saved, you know that already, because you've been walking with Him by faith and you're trusting in God. And you know that God has never let you down. He has never left you nor forsaken you. So when you pray, this is what I wanted to get around to say. Think about all the people in your life who you know that need something from God. Try to get out of yourself. We talked about this some time back. And God always supplies my needs. This, I'm going to speak for me right now, just a minute before we pray. God has supplied my needs. I have not had to worry about anything, although the devil and the flesh have risen up at times and put worry and doubt and fear and all of that in your heart. But you know what? I'm learning more and more day by day that God has never failed me. And I always ask myself this question, and I'm going to ask you just before we pray. What did you do last time God let you down? What did you do? You know, well, my answer is He's never let me down. It looked like He might have thought about letting me down, but it never happened. And so I want to say hallelujah, praise your name, Lord. And so you know what? I said all that to say, when you pray, think about your neighbors, your friends, your enemies, your relatives, folks on your street, whatever, anywhere, at your job. Think about somebody else. Intercessory prayer is one of the greatest types of prayer, where we learn to pray on behalf of another who may not be so well connected to God. Yeah, and when you do that, you can see that that's when Job's miseries and troubles turned away, when he began to pray for his friends in the book of Job. Amen. So let us pray. His friends were putting him down. Y'all know that story. I'm not going to get you with that one this morning. But the fact is, he began to pray for them. And his captivity and all of his anxieties, his pressures, everything rolled away. And God restored to him the years that the locusts had eaten. Hallelujah. So think about the power of praying for somebody else when you pray. Lord God, in the matchless name of your Son, Jesus, Lord God, we just love you this morning. The best we know how, Father, we admit that we don't feel like we love you as much as we ought to. And a lot of people won't admit that. We have a lot of proud folks today who think they know everything about you. But Father, we come humbly before your almighty throne, Lord God, and we know we don't know a fraction of what we need. But Father, that doesn't bother us, because you are our Father. Just like, oh God, the times when we were children and we didn't know how anything was going to be. You blessed us. You carried us through that whole period when we didn't even have a good grasp on how things were going or what the world was about or who really cared for us and who didn't, Lord God. Some of us had people in our lives that cared for us and cherished us. Others didn't, Lord God. But you were there. You were consistent, oh God, in holding us up no matter who or what came into our lives. And so, Father, right now we thank you. We praise you today, God, Father, we thank you for our church brothers and sisters, God. We thank you for our friends, neighbors, relatives, enemies, oh God, whoever they are. We just bless your name today, God, because you are worthy. All by yourself, you are worthy to be praised. And we want to just thank you today, God. And Father, we thank you for using us, for giving us a reasonable portion of health and strength. We thank you for the activity of our limbs, oh God. Father, we thank you for food on our tables and everything that you provide, Lord, because you provide it all. And Father, you have never come short of your word. And so, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the church. We thank you for our church family, Lord God. And Father, we bless you for everybody that hears this message today, Lord. And we just bless you for giving us a platform and a place, oh God, in preaching your son to this world. And Father, we just want to bless you and praise you. Father, we pray for people who are suffering with illness. We pray for people who are healing right now, Lord God, that you have given victory over disease. And Lord God, bless some more today. Let them get up off their beds with shouting and joy and praise today, Lord God, and say, I'm healed, oh God. So, Father, bless some people with healing today, Lord. Bless them with confidence today, Lord. Somebody worried about the bills. Lord, bless them with the confidence that you have taken care of the situation and you're going to deal with it. And they're going to be able to give you some more praise for everything that you do. Father, we ask you to bless us today. God, bless them. Bless our friends. Bless our neighbors. Bless our enemies. Bless our co-workers. Oh, God, and we just bless your name. Especially bless those who are not with understanding of the gospel today, Father. We lift them up specially, Lord, that you would bless them. Look in the prisons, oh, God, and in the shelters, Lord, wherever people are. They need a touch from your hand, oh, God, and let the good news of the gospel revolutionize their lives like it did for us. Father, we ask you to bless us today as we hear your word. Give us an understanding, oh God, of the paradox of this life and of our salvation, Lord God. And we'll be careful to give all the honor, the praise, and the glory to your son, Jesus, who you have appointed heir of all things. And in him we pray, Lord God. It's in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Go ahead and thank God. Hallelujah. For his marvelous grace, his marvelous mercy. Hallelujah. I could never thank him too much. And I know that's true of you. If you know him, you understand what I'm talking about. If you don't, keep listening, because we want to bring you in into the family. We are the Church of Jesus Christ. We love God, and God has ordained us to go and tell the good news to everybody. And so we know that's you today. Amen. As I said, I don't want to be in your face too long today, because I know y'all got some other things to do. Some of y'all might have some food on the stove, or you might be cooking up a special meal for the day. I don't know what you're doing, making preparation for the game or what have you. So, but we want to talk just a few minutes with you today. If you give me just a little of your time this morning here, we'll have you squared away and you can get on back. But I can promise you this, when the word of God is in your spirit, you're going to have some joy you didn't have before you tuned in. Hallelujah. We thank the Lord for you. Amen. So we're going to go right ahead. Our message today is called Living in the Paradox of Being Saved. Now, we've been talking about this. Our lessons tend to add up as you go through them. I just want to tell you that because there's so much to say about God's word. It is so awesome that you really have to meditate in his law day and night. That was a prescription that he has given to so many. He told so many that they should meditate in the law of the Lord day and night. And this is just something common. The reason being, God is so awesome. You and I are not, simply put. We're not too awesome. But God is all by himself. And so we have to meditate. Just think about it. Put his word, the things he teaches you, in your mind and let them soak a little. Let them go through your mind. Chew on it all day long. That's what that meditate means. Kind of put it in your mind and chew on it. So we have a lot of lessons with some pretty deep content. And we're not trying to proclaim to be deep and all that. That's not the issue. The issue is, you need to really think about the things God has said. Let them soak into your spirit. Let it become a part of your very makeup, your DNA. Now, we mentioned a couple of lessons back that there's a program, an evil program, running in our spirit. It started back when Adam convinced Eve that she should disobey God. And her husband just willfully disobeyed God after she did. And that evil program, I called it the other day, I gave it a name, just something you can hang your thoughts on. This is not clinical or anything, but I called it unmitigated autonomy. In other words, we have a desire to disobey God. And it's kind of like a corrupted software, a virus getting into your, everybody's worried about corona. This unmitigated autonomy has been in the spirits and the souls of men all the time, all the way from the garden until this very second. And the scripture tells us it's going to be on the rise and increase. And we've talked about this in the previous lessons. You can go back and listen to them online. So I was thinking about that. I ended up when I'm digesting some of the things that God gives me to teach, this is where these other ideas come from. And so that's why I tell you, if you haven't heard that one, go back and listen to it. It's on the website. It's on the podcast, so you can have opportunity to feed on it. Simply put, we have a program running against the perfect program that God designed because he made man in his own image. And in the image of God, the Bible says, created he him. Male and female created he them. We taught that in our Christmas series. So you can get all these online. But I'm trying to get you to the train of thought that the Lord brought me to for this message. And so basically it's almost unbelievable that God has put up with this treacherous program running in the lives and the hearts of men. You can see it in your own children. And some of you have children. In fact, we all are someone's children. And all of us may not have children of our own. But you can see what I'm talking about if you just open up your eyes and take a look and see what goes on and how people do and how they are. You'll find out that everybody seems to tend to want to do what they want to do, and you have to train them otherwise to do what they ought to do. And that's typical. That's why we have schools. That's why we have colleges. That's why we have all types of seminars, seminaries, different teaching and learning institutions. We have endless webinars and seminars online, and we're always constantly trying to learn. And Paul even said something like this: because of that program that's running inside, that unmitigated autonomy, making us want to do what we want to do rather than what we ought to do. And that's what brings about crime and all of that. He said this, that people are ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. The truth is always constant. The truth that God is constant. God has never changed. He is consistent. He is exactly the way he was before he created mankind, the heavens, the earth, any of that. And he will continue with that consistency when the heavens and the earth won't be no more. And that's why it says in Mark 13:31, that the heavens and the earth shall pass away. But God says, my word will never pass away. So you can always count on God's word. And so this is why we have to meditate in his word day and night. We have an evil system that's a part of our makeup. And the scripture uses the term the flesh. And he says the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit is against the flesh, and these two are contrary one to another, that you may not do the things that you please. That's what Paul told the Galatians in the book of Galatians. And so all of us have this problem. If you're not saved, hang on. I want you to know, first of all, if you're not saved, God loves you. Even our resistance to salvation. God gave his son for you, whoever you are. Jesus died for you, and it's only by Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, that anyone can be saved. There's never been a person who could be saved without a sacrifice from God. God had to provide the sacrifice. You know why? Because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they who dwell in it. The whole law system was based on the fact that God provided sacrifices for mankind throughout the years and gave instruction how they could access his mercy. And so God's mercy has been running. If you're listening to me right now and you haven't thought about this, God has loved you. He's allowed you to run however you've been running all the days of your life up to this very second. And today I want you to know he wants to have a special relationship with you. That's why he gave his son Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, and has centered his whole world, this world, around him. This whole world is centered around Christ. Don't let anybody tell you different. Because if they do, you research it for yourself. You'll find out that it's 2021 because Jesus the Messiah was born about 2,021 years ago, and this whole world is configured around him. Everything that goes on is configured around Jesus. And I want you to know, if you've never trusted him, and if you do, you know what I'm talking about. He has come for you. God sent him for you. It's an expression of his love for you. You may have heard this, and some of y'all say, oh, Pastor, we know that already. Well, I don't mind ever hearing good news again and again. If somebody came to me and told me, oh, you just won $1 million, I wouldn't mind if you told me 10 minutes from now, I won $1 million. Well, thank you. I'm good with that. So no matter what the news is, and the news of salvation is way worth more than any $1 million. The fact is, God sent his son, and John 3:16 summarizes what I'm talking about. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, don't even worry about who you are, where you came from, what you thought, what you did yesterday, what you did 50 years ago, whatever, however much time, makes no difference. God says, I'm ready to wash your account clean and adopt you into my family. And so God wants you to be saved. So if you're not saved, God wants you to be saved. And all you need to do is believe. It is not his fault. Trust in his son, Jesus the Christ, whom he raised from the dead, and you shall be saved. Now, us who are saved, we know that. That's fundamental. That's Christianity 101, if you will. The fact that you must trust in Christ and believe that God has raised him from the dead. Keep in mind, God provided Christ even against this evil program that runs in our own flesh. The scripture talks about three enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And so the devil started the corruption in the human family, and that's when the flesh became a problem. And then as it escalates and gets worse and worse and worse as time goes on, it becomes the problem with the world. Being in the world is the system of this world, the way it works, the way it operates, with all these people running on unmitigated autonomy, doing what they want to do, skewing everything to their favor, not trusting God, doing it their way and not doing it his way. And God, in the middle of all of that, has published his word, which he finished 2,000 years ago, roughly, all the way back in 95 A.D., God finished his word, and it's been available for every man, woman, boy, and girl. The Bible is the most published book ever, and it always has been, ever since the Gutenberg Press. The Bible has been the most biggest seller. They had to stop counting it so that somebody else can get bestseller. Because right now, even with all the things that are called themselves the New York Times bestseller, the Bible outsells it by millions all the time, every year, and it always will. And so the fact is, God's word has been published. It's been in your life every second that you've been in the world. Most of us, if you can hear my voice, that's true. Every second, when you were in the womb, God's word was in the world. And so God's program and his system and his word, his thoughts, everything that you need for time and eternity has been in the world. You may not have accessed it. And if you have, you know that it's good. That's why the Bible says in taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, taste and see. Because God's word is really good. And if you get in it, you're going to find out that it will give you joy unspeakable and full of glory. If you understand how much he loves you and he's been loving you against every evil thing that has ever been done to you or done by you, either way. God's word tells us, it's the published statement of how men must be saved. And the scripture says there's no other name under heaven which has been given among men whereby we must be saved. The name of Jesus is the greatest name there is, and there is no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. So we thank God for Jesus. Now let me get back on my point. God has been putting up with this evil forces that have been going on from the very beginning, clear on up to this very second. And the scripture says he will continue for some time. But there's coming a day when the Bible says that the restrainer, which is the influence of God's word that continues to keep the earth like salt as a preservative, will be taken away. And at that time, that wicked one will be revealed, whom the Lord will slay with the breath of his mouth, that means his spoken word, and with the brightness of his coming. That's when Jesus returns, speaking about the Antichrist. So it goes all the way from Adam to the Antichrist. We're talking about that whole period of time. You and I are somewhere in the middle, and it's a paradox. A paradox means something that is self-contradictory. To some degree, it's self-contradictory that a holy God, a righteous God, a pure God, has no flaw, no fault. He's entirely holy. He's thrice holy. Holy, 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 the seraphim cried. Is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is filled with his glory. How can a God that perfect, that spotless, that sinless, that holy, beyond definition, we can't even comprehend, it's beyond comprehension, the holiness of God, put up with all of this and all of these people for all of time, all the way from Adam clear through to the Antichrist? It's a paradox in your mind, just the fact that you can see that God would do that. But he has a purpose in it, and I want you to know today his purpose is running underneath anything you see in the world, is running above anything you see in the world, and his purpose is to call men, women, boys, and girls to salvation. The problem with the sin issue was not God's fault. It was something God allowed, and he has allowed it all this time, and it will continue to be allowed all the way up until God removes his restraint off the world. Now, let me say this quickly before we go into our direct message. It's necessary for you and me to understand it would be worse. If you can just imagine, think about the worst thing going on now. It could be worse, and it would be worse. God is preventing it from being as bad as it would. God has been checking man for a long time. He's been checking him. He's checking him every second. Right now, even today, man is in check. By that I mean, man cannot do what he really like to do. You and I have had some thoughts of things we'd like to do, and we, for some reason, haven't been able to do them. Thank God. Hallelujah. And if you're thinking right and being honest, you know what I'm talking about. Aren't you glad you didn't do everything you thought about in your lifetime? I know I am. And some of y'all might be pristine and righteous and all that. And maybe that didn't happen to you. And maybe you might be saying, "Ah, that's that evil preacher." Well, that could be. But the fact is, God has put up with all the wicked ideas, thoughts, plots, plans, schemes, and they go on all day. They're published and broadcast into our homes and over our computers and into our phones and everywhere into our life, people trying to manipulate folks, and there are con artists of every stripe. There's all kinds of treachery going on, even in government, which God designed to keep people safe and to retard the progress of the evil program of unmitigated autonomy that's running in every person. God established human government to put that in check. And even the government is corrupted. So what do you think? We would be in a stew if it wasn't for God's mercy holding back what everybody wants to do in the whole plan, in the whole scheme of humanity. So it's a great paradox. In other words, it seems contradictory. The righteousness of God allows this to go on the way it is. Now, I want to connect some things to that. First of all, God loves mankind. That's why he allows it. And you know what he's trying to do? Glean out a people for his own possession. And he constantly has done that throughout the whole history of mankind. Even though he had the deal, for example, there were two sons, Cain and Abel. This is not necessarily in my notes. But Cain and Abel, the first two sons mentioned that were born to Adam and Eve. And you find out that the evil son who didn't trust God had his own program running, killed the good son who did what God had said. In the book of Genesis, you can read that for yourself over in chapter 4. But the fact is, God put up with Cain and his descendants, and they're still going on. And he was allowed to continue to populate the world, and people come out of the seed of Cain, ultimately, when you think it through. And it says they had another son later on in Genesis 5 named Seth, but he still came out of the line of Cain either way, because there was no other seed for him to come out of. And so the truth of the matter is, God has been putting up with unmitigated sin for a long time. Even though the people of God tend to sin less because they at least give God their attention, they at least trust God, they call on God. Even though we're not perfect, we try to walk in the precepts that God gives, but that's not why we're saved. We're saved because of God's mercy toward mankind, and that is the paradox in life of being saved. There's a paradox because God is perfectly holy, and he keeps on extending his mercy to another generation. That's why we say from generation to generation about God. He is awesome, he is mighty, and he is holy. And we need to understand that. So living in an increasingly more troublous world, we have to develop mechanisms which have been provided to us through faith in Jesus Christ and learn to listen and heed to the voice of the Holy Spirit, who alone can equip all who trust in Jesus to not only cope with the roller coaster of life, but also to have productive attitude in the process as we come to understand life in the paradox of being saved. Now, what am I talking about? If you're not saved, God wants you to be saved. He loves you. He gave his son, Jesus, made him the most famous person in human history. No matter what you hear on TV, you may not hear this on CNN or Fox News, but it's the truth. You know how I know? Because God said it right here. And the world is configured around him, and they can't change it. So God's power to put his son in the middle of your life is manifested in your life every second, whether you realize it or not, no matter who contradicts it or who doesn't believe it. So that's what you need to understand. God has some things going on that are permanent. They're fixed. They're in your life, and the devil can't take it out. And you ought to say hallelujah right there. I thank God that he's like that. He's put his plan, his program right in the world. So whoever, you can talk about it, you can cast it out, you can say it's not so, you can lie, you can teach, you can steal. But God's word is here and is here to stay. And it's telling you the truth of God's mercy and how you can be saved. The ones who are not saved are the ones who do not access the truth of God's word. The church was left to preach the gospel, the good news that God has given his son, so that whosoever, and we do that if we're really doing it. Now, a lot of the church is corrupted, I have to say, with all kinds of stuff, denominationalism, with all kinds of different kinds of stuff, like you go to a white church or black church or Hispanic church. Some of it is linguistic. Most of it is just sectarian foolishness from the evil programs that man runs instead of man sticking to the universal message that God has given, that he so loves the world. That means all the people in the world. That he gave his only begotten son, that's Jesus, the only one, the one and only, the righteous, that whosoever, all of you people around this planet, whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In other words, God puts a loophole so that people like us who don't deserve it can be saved. And he puts his word in the world indelibly, so it cannot be removed. And it is the truth. And the Bible says it will be here when the heavens and earth have been rolled up like a scroll. So you can count on it. And once you learn to trust him, this is the vehicle of faith that God gives to the ones who believe him. If you believe God, the Bible says it will be accounted to you for righteousness, like it did with Abraham. We talked about that on last Bible study, that Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. That's what salvation is about. Believe God. Believe his word. One way to be saved, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and believe that God has raised him from the dead and you shall be saved. Once you do that, you come into a, as it were, a secret society. It's not secret because we're public. We're publicly preaching this good news. It's just that we preach against all this other stuff. That's the paradox of being saved. There's all kinds of foolishness in the world that militates against the truth of the gospel. But you and I who believe the gospel, even if no one else does, we do. And we walk by faith and not by sight. That's what it means. We don't look at this stuff we see. We don't look at the systems of the world. We have no trust or hope in government. God told us to pray for government. It was really his idea. But when it's corrupted, they're not on God's plan or their program, whoever they are, no matter what kind of government system it is. From the Kremlin to the White House to wherever else you go, all the governments of the world were designed by God, and nobody occupies government unless God allows it. And so what God says is that all of us should pray for whoever the government is. Doesn't make any difference. He's not favoring one government over another, but he's using government to move his program and his platform forward. They think they're using him and all that, but they're not. Because that's the paradox of being saved. We can see that. We have the fortitude and the understanding which is engrafted into our spirits by the Word of God and the Spirit of God to see what's really going on in the world, and that we put our faith totally in God's Word above everything that any government, principality, power, or person, whoever, says, because we trust God with our very lives, because he has given us mercy. So that is somewhat just a nutshell of the paradox of being saved. You have to learn to be in this world, be in God's word, be in the God's spirit, allow the spirit to move you and to shape your mind, your thinking, your progress in life, fellowship with the people who are like-minded. That's the church, the folks, the real church. I'm not talking about hypocrites with a bunch of rituals and all of that, because that means nothing. That has never satisfied God and never will. Hebrews 10:4 says God has never been satisfied with the blood of bulls and goats, with candles, with any of that kind of stuff. Rituals do not satisfy God. God is satisfied one way, and that is by the blood of his Son, Jesus the Christ, whom he sent out of eternity to be crucified on the tree and die and get off the grave to show you that I have the only solution to the problem that man has, which is death. I'm the only one with the solution. Government will never have a solution for that. There's going to be some fake folks coming up with it here sometime soon. We don't know when, but I'm not worried about it. And neither should you be. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. In other words, if God said it, I believe it, I trust it, and I don't care what anybody else says. You can contradict God's word, and I don't believe you. So you go ahead and do it. That's what the Hebrew boys did, as you remember, Daniel. Let's get to this text. My time's getting away. I was trying to be with you briefly today. Moving on, I want you to read just a passage to help you understand life and the paradox of being saved, looking at the book of Isaiah, chapter 64, verses 6 to 12, and it reads like this. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. What a description of fallen man. It's amazing. We are all as an unclean thing. And all of our righteousnesses. Look, if you see that in Isaiah 64, 6. It says all of our righteousnesses. In other words, the best things we can produce, all of them are like a filthy rag in the sight of a holy God. So you know what? That's human righteousness. Stuff that governments do. They have to write a bill this thick. And Jesus put a sentence. He said, treat your neighbor as yourself. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That's very simple. I don't need a stack of stuff this big. I just treat you the way I want to be treated. Pretty simple. That would be the fix for all the problems that we have. If there's somebody in the world, you treat them the way you want to be treated. Very simple. Man makes law this thick. And then you want to know why it doesn't work. And you couldn't do the one sentence that Jesus gave. So you think you can do this? No, you can't. So that shows you how foolish that is. But he says here, we are all, notice that in Isaiah 64, 6, as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses, that's in the plural, righteousnesses. That's why I like KJV. In other words, anything you think is righteous, all of it is number filthy rags in the sight of God. And we do all fade as a leaf. And our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. So in other words, God should just sweep us all away because we don't have anything he's interested in as an individual. But the fact is, God is merciful. And he loves wretched people because that's the only kind there are. And I want you to know he loves you, whoever you are. Jesus Christ was crucified by his own free will. He was God, the Son. And he came to be crucified on a tree to get in your place instead of you having to take the judgment of God on yourself. So we can see the cross is probably the greatest paradox of all. I'll tell you more about that. Let's go to verse 7. And there is none that calleth upon thy name. We would never call God if God hadn't called us. Beloved, realize this today. God is calling you right now out of something evil. And if you will hear his voice today, harden not your heart, the Bible says. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Don't harden your heart. God is calling you. I love you. Whatever you're dealing with, no matter how wicked it is, I love you. And I want to fix it. But if you bring it to me, like we said on Wednesday, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. God says, I want to teach you my way of doing things. I want to teach you my way of living right. You know, if we were all in here, there wouldn't be wars and rumors of wars and treachery like we see now. There wouldn't be corrupted governments and people corrupting more people with more so-called policy and all that. There wouldn't be any of that because people would love one another. Jesus said, even as I have loved you. So we don't have that, but let's look on. Let me go ahead. I'm getting hung up here. I want you to see Isaiah 64, verse 8. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father, and we are the clay. Thou art our potter, and we are all the work of thy hands. God says, I crafted you, I formed you, I shaped you. Just like a pottery maker, a potter would shape a vessel that he's making like these vessels I have here. The fact is, you make whatever you want. So God says, I'll shape you, I'll mold you. I'll make you into the man or woman I want you to be. We are the work of your hands. Now, Isaiah 64:9, be not wroth, very sore, O Lord, neither remember iniquity forever. Behold, see, we beseech thee. We are all thy people. It's calling out as the people of God. And I believe we need to do this, church, because the church is in the midst of all of this other confusion, corruption, and evil politics, and evil philosophies, and evil churches, and all kinds of stuff. Folks saying they're the church. You know, the devil has more counterfeit stuff out there calling itself a church than just as much as the world has evil politics going on. So you and I need to keep the doctrine pure. Get into the Word. Make sure that what you believe is what God said. And I want you to know, you don't have to be a Bible scholar in the sense that we in the world have corrupted that to be. You can be a Bible scholar by getting the Word. The Holy Ghost will teach you what God has said. And that's what the Bible says. You have an anointing, 1 John 2:27, from the Holy One. And you all know, Jesus said the Spirit of truth will lead you and guide you to all truth in John 16. Stay in His Word. That's what He said in John 8. If you continue in My Word, then are you My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So you got to get in the Word. And if you're not in the Word, or you're not in a church that's in the Word, get in one. Join St. Timothy. We've got plenty of space. We'll take you. And we love you. And we'll teach you the Word. Amen. But let's move on. Here we see in verse number 10, the holy cities are a wilderness. Zion is a wilderness, Jerusalem a desolation. So you see, God doesn't even care about real estate. He controls it and regulates it, everything that goes on. But He said, okay, the people got there. You turned Jerusalem and Zion, which is My city, into something that was not of Me. You know what I did? I let your enemies come in and bulldoze the darn thing, take it out. It doesn't have to be. You know why? Because the whole thing is Mine, really. But if you want to turn it into a travesty, then I'll knock it down. I don't need it. So God only did that to facilitate people who are staying in His Word. That's why there's no temple there in Jerusalem today. There's a temple, but it's not God's. There's a temple up on the Temple Mount, but it doesn't belong to God. God didn't put it there. Somebody else put it there after they tore down the temple in Jerusalem after 70 A.D. And that one will stay until the final temple is built. And that time is coming. It's right up the road. That's not a part of this message. We'll deal with that later. But He says, and you can see in God's Word, He will desolate even stuff that has some significant value when it's being done right with the right spirit. And He will allow it to be desolate, Isaiah 64:10. Our holy and our beautiful houses, where our fathers praised Thee, is burned up with fire, and all our pleasant things are laid waste. Wilt Thou refrain Thyself for these things, O Lord? Isaiah's crying out, will you refrain yourself? Because look what they did, Mark. That shows you the evil program running in the world will even destroy the temples that God had erected for His own people. That's because the majority of the people had turned away from God and got into their own unmitigated autonomy and allowed that to happen. So God said, wipe it out. He sent in or allowed the evil system running in the world to wipe it out. It's not for His purposes. So you and I need to understand that. That's a deep thing. That's what I'm talking about, life and the paradox of being saved. We got to understand things from God's perspective, not from the news, not from the politics, not from the false church, not from people's opinion, not from our own opinion, only from God's Word. When we do that and walk by faith and not by sight, then we'll be on the right track. Then and only then. So I want you to see that Isaiah writes about the predicament of all mankind. Even the covenant people of God was that there is no way that anyone could ever be clean in God's sight without God's grace and blessings. and that God's great love is the only reason that anyone can ever have any hope of being justified in His sight. Without God's grace and mercy, no one will be saved. Understand that. The only reason I am saved is I trust in Jesus the Christ, and the only reason I trusted Him is God gave me faith to believe the gospel. You know, and it's gospel because it's good news. It's good news that God loves us that much. Jesus loved us that much. Jesus is God the Son. He loves you that much. He came and died on the cross for you. Personalize that right now. If you've never done it, personalize it right now. It happened for you already. It's history, and the whole world's divided on it. In other words, the time system in the world is built on it. So believe it. It's for you. And Jesus did that, and the Holy Spirit is giving you faith right now. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. That's why I'm preaching to you that God loves you. Know it for sure, and understand that's the only reason God has justified anyone, is that they have trusted in Jesus' Son and believe that God has raised Him from the dead. Now, why should we trust Jesus, His Son? Because only the one that got out the grave has the proper credential for you and me to understand that this is the work of God. Who do you know else? Jesus went around raising people. He raised the widow of Nain's son from the dead. He raised so many from the dead. We can talk about there in the word. Lazarus is probably the greatest of all, John chapter 11. And He raised him after 4 days out of the grave. And he was sitting at the table eating with Jesus. The religious people who were running the phony religious temple said, "Well, we got to kill both of them now. We got to kill Lazarus and him," after they raised him about the dead. So keep this in mind. That evil program has been running all the time, right along concurrent with God's truth. But the truth is really moving forward and marching on, and everything else, the heavens and the earth, will pass away. That's the paradox in this life of being saved. I want you to think about that today. But let's go on. New Testament, got to wrap my thoughts up. Time's getting away. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 1 to 10. This is probably one of the greatest treatises in the New Testament that explains this life and the paradox of being saved. Think about it just a little. Pray on this as you read it. In 2 Corinthians 6 and 1, "We then are workers together with them, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain." In other words, don't take God's grace for granted. And don't take it for nothing. If you have received it, work with it. Comply with it. Pray in it. Walk in it. Meditate in it. Don't receive it in vain and do nothing with it. Just take the grace of God and put it to its full value. And you know what? It has an unlimited value. That's what I want you to know. And that's one of the great paradoxes. Sometimes the world just stifles me and you from doing everything we can. We do what we, sometimes unmitigated autonomy says, "Well, I'm going to do this much," and we stop short. Don't do that. Devote yourself to the things of God. Don't take the grace of God in vain. Maximize your output in the grace of God and your input. Take it in, put it out. Share it with others. Verse 2, "For he saith, I have heard thee in an accepted time, and in the day of salvation I have succored thee." That means I assisted you when you heard the gospel in giving you faith to believe. "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Maximize right now. Don't say, "I'll do it tomorrow." Don't put off till tomorrow what you should be doing today. Because God's word is a blessing. And if you can do it today and it's in the power of your hand to do it with all your might. That's what Ecclesiastes says. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Don't sit back and wait and put things off. Press your way on into what God said. And he promises that he'll meet you with a blessing. So give no offense in anything that the ministry be not blamed. In other words, don't be stirring up trouble with anybody, but go ahead on, move on in my grace. Notice 2 Corinthians 6 and 4. "But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, and in necessities, and in distresses, and in stripes, and imprisonments, and tumults, and labor, in watchings, and fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers yet true, as unknown yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, and as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. Wow, that is such a paradox. That really, really, really puts forth what I'm talking about right there. Those passages. Look at the paradoxical way they flow. In other words, they seem to contradict themselves. But the truth is, it's showing you how the saved are living within the paradox of this life. That God is allowing you to see things from His perspective. That He is giving you faith to trust that His program is still moving no matter what you see, no matter what you hear. And it cannot fail, so we can stand on it. We know we're walking by faith and not by sight. We are in His love, in His grace, in His mercy, even though we're being afflicted and oppressed on every side. And this is going to get worse. This is the reason why I'm telling you. It's going to escalate. And you and I don't really know the depth of what Paul was going through here. But you can see the paradoxical situation of it, because he's contrasting all things. We own nothing, but we possess all things. That's amazing. Possessing all things, even though you own nothing. You know why? Because if you trust God, the earth is really His. So no matter what anybody else does, God knows that this earth is His. It belongs to Him and the ones who will inherit the earth. Blessed are the meek. He says, for they shall inherit the earth. The ones who understand, I can take what God says, be in control with how He teaches, and I know that everything He has, He will bless us. When we invest in Him, He's already invested in us, and He has promised, this is the one I love, and I'm going to be done here shortly. God says, when you see me, when you come into my presence, my pastor used to say, you're going to see God coming with a towel to wipe every tear from your eyes, everything that's hurt your feelings, everything that has broken your heart, all the tragic stuff you endured, no matter what you've been through. God says, I'm going to wipe away every tear from your eyes. Just keep on trusting me. Keep loving me and know I love you and I got you covered. That man can't really do anything to you. You're my child. I have adopted you into my family. I hope you have accepted Jesus to be your Savior. So the story of human life is a severe tragedy in so many ways. Yet there is a glorious splendor and majesty that exists alongside all the darkness and tragedies, but there is no profit in anything unless there is a way made by faith in Almighty God, who sent Jesus Christ, His Son, to rescue all the children by faith alone from every evil situation. So there will be an ultimate rescue of all the children of God, and you will be a part of it if you have trusted in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation. And He's the only one defeated death, beloved. And He did it for you. He did it so you can have the surety that even the worst thing I have in my future, that's the way we see it on earth. Oh, everybody, even the blues writers, everybody want to go to heaven, but don't nobody want to die. And it's true, death seems to be a horrible thing. But God says death has been swallowed up in victory. That's why I put my son right where I did, so you would know I got the solution to the worst thing that you have to deal with. So the Apostle Paul illustrates this same idea as he writes the Corinthians, showing them many examples of apparent contradictions, which are true of all the lost who hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and get saved to a fresh new understanding, which gives way to the actual spiritual reality that should be shared out to everyone. We need to share the good news of the gospel. It's the most important message on earth. So I tried to get you done a little early. I see I'm really about at the same spot. But I want you to know God loves you. He has made a way for you. I'll stop here and say these are our information if you'd like to help support the ministry. We have a lot of things we'd like to do. We can't do anything without your support. So please send an offering to help us do that. If you're not saved, I'd like to invite you to pray with me right now as we close. We hope you didn't get a good word from God. If you're not saved, God wants you saved. And I can assert that to you with all surety. He loves you because He's given Jesus for you. If you never knew it, pray with me now. God will take you right now and adopt you to His family. Eternal God, we bless your name. We give you praise today, Lord God. We thank you for the gospel. Thank you for the resurrection that you
have a treacherous thing put on in this world. We didn't understand today, but Lord, we understand that paradise. That you bless your children right now. You take us from darkness and give us security and faith. You've given us the promise of resurrection, and Father, we love you best and know how. Father, we pray you forgive us of every transgression that we already have done and have up to now. And continue to forgive us, Lord, as you instruct us and teach us to be the men and women of God that you have called. And Father, we thank you for the salvation of anyone praying with me right now. Guide them that they might come and be baptized in the water of the baptism as you have prescribed in your word. And I will show them and it will change in the life. And Father, we give you all the honor and praise and the glory. Thank you for St. Timothy, all the mothers, the members, everybody, Lord God, today. And we ask this in the mighty name of his Son, Jesus the Christ, all our friends, relatives, neighbors, even our enemies, and they listening. We bless God on your behalf, and we ask you to keep on trusting the Lord. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We love you. Amen. We hope you love us too. God bless you, Pastor Fisher. Stand out with Jesus' name.